Good evening, church. If there's any junior high age group, 6th, 7th, 8th graders, you guys are free at this time to go with Cameron. He's going to lead you in a Bible study that's age appropriate for you. So if you don't know Cameron, he's right by the food truck. Cam, if you could maybe just, wave your hand. If you guys want to go with him, he's going to lead you, again, in a study that's for you guys in the front of the church. So go ahead and make your way there if you're 6th, 7th, 8th graders, if you want to. For the rest of us, let's turn our Bibles this evening to Psalm 119, and we are in verse 57 to 64. Let's read these verses collectively. Let's pray for all of the students who went back to school today and what they're up against, just trying to shine their light, stand for Jesus. It's incredible where the Lord has us in His Word this evening, talking to us about the importance of our friend selection. You can't make these things up. It's amazing. First day of school, the Lord has us here tonight talking about the importance of that choice. So let's read through these verses, allow the Lord just to wash us in His Word, that cleanses from all the dirt that has gone in, right? The Word is like a sword. As the Word goes in like a sword, the dirt comes out. The filth of the radio, the filth of the TV, the filth of people's conversations, people's language. It's just good to have the Word initially wash over you. So let me do that here. It says in verse 57 of Psalm 119, I think it's David who writes this. The psalmist here, he says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord." That's good. He says, "I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Please be merciful unto me according to your word." In verse 59, the psalmist says, "I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste, and I delayed not to keep thy commandments." In verse 61, it says, "The bands of the wicked, they have robbed me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight," verse 62, "I will rise to give thanks unto you because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion, I'm friends with, I'm buddies with all of them that fear you, Lord, and of them that keep your precepts." And then his conclusion for this evening in 64, it says, "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." So, Lord, we bow our heads and our hearts before you in prayer. We thank you, God, for this evening, for this midweek Bible study that you've cleared. Lord, the rain, the sky, allow the sun to come out for a bit, bringing us, Lord, to this pasture, green grass, Lord, where we can just sit and receive your word. And we ask you this evening that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, bless the students that are in our midst, Lord, the young ones, the elementary, the high school, college age kids. Lord, just being bombarded by temptation. Lord, there's an agenda, certainly in the world, to indoctrinate, to steal our kids' souls, Lord. So just, we thank you that they're here this evening, being washed in your truth. We pray that you would take your word and cause it to penetrate their hearts and all of our hearts in the hearing of it this evening. We do want to pray that you'd bless this upcoming school year. Again, all the students, Lord, that you would bless them, keep them, make your face shine upon them, empower them with your spirit to shine brightly for you. And Lord, they're not the only ones who need that empowerment. It doesn't get any easier the older you get, Lord. We all need your strength. Lord, we all need our portion this evening to carry on for another day and second half of the week, should you tarry. So bless us, Lord, as we gather around the table of your word and we feast. Open our eyes, open our hearts, Lord, like we sang, we want to see Jesus. And it's his name that all of God's people said, amen. This is an amazing psalm. I really like it because of how logical it is. 176 verses, the longest chapter in the Bible, almost dead center. And I think most theologians would say that the chapter is primarily about the Word of God, because out of 176 verses, 173 mention in some way, shape, or form Scripture. Precepts, testimony, thy law. The first week that we started studying this, a number of weeks back, I sort of opened up to you and with you what those different words meant as a teaser, because the psalmist uses different ones for different reasons throughout his writing. But more than it just being a psalm about the Word of God, 173 verses out of 176 is quite a bit to say, well, that's the theme here. But more than that, 176 out of 176 is about the God of the Word. So not just a psalm about the Word of God, although it is, but more than that, it's a psalm about the God of the Word, which is what we are here this evening to do, come to know Him more in the grace and knowledge of who He is. Amen? So we come to this portion, and every week we come to a passage in the psalm, a chunk of scripture in the psalm, these stanzas that are broken up here in verses of groups of eight. We come to a portion this evening, like all the other portions, where the psalmist says, this is why I love the Word. It is not just I love the Word because I love the Word. I went to Calvary Chapel and I was taught to love the Word. So everybody say we love the Word. All right, let's do it with a chant and onward we go. No, he gives reason for why he loves the Word. He's going to say this evening, because of God's Word, that I love, he's going to say throughout these verses, I'm going to skip through them real quick, he's going to say things along the nature of, well, because of God's Word, we have something that we can entreat him about. That's in 58. Because of God's Word, I can entreat the Lord. Because of God's Word, I have these thoughts about the Lord. That's verse 59. Because of God's Word, verse 60, I'm able to make haste. Because of God's Word, I have not forgotten certain things. That's in 62. Because of God's Word, I will be able to rise. Because of God's Word, I'm able to make good selection about friendships and companionships. You know, he's saying there's so many reasons why I love God's Word. He really is carrying on a thought that he left us off in the previous passage. You know, he's saying, you know, the Lord, his Word is so wonderful. I have something to hold on to because of the Word of God. I have something to sing about because of the Word of God. I got something to call promises because of the Word of God. Think about it. If we didn't have Scripture, where would we pull our promises from God? We have promises from God to carry us through life's hardships because he's given us his Word. We have things that we make our own. We have tear marks on our Bible pages. We have dates. We have things underlined. We have names written next to the verse that bears witness with our spirit because of God's Word. So that's where he's going in this portion of scriptures this evening. You know, he's like, I am thankful. I'm able to entreat. I'm able to think. I'm able to make haste. I'm able not to forget. I'm able to rise up. There are so many reasons, he says, why I love not just the Word of God, but the God of the Word who gave us his Word. And I think all of us Wednesday evening folks are like, amen, right? Like, there is great reason to praise the Lord for his Scripture. So he says here, we'll take it verse by verse. We'll slice it and dice it and let the Holy Spirit speak to us each our portion. He says in verse 57, he says, thou art my portion. He says, thou art my portion, O Lord. There are a lot of options that the world is given to us to be our portion, to be our inheritance, to be our prize. The psalmist says, I've lived a little bit, and my conclusion, my resolve is, Lord, there is nobody like you. You are my portion, O Lord. Listen, these are words of a very satisfied soul. Yeah, right? These are words of a very satisfied soul. He says, you are my portion. It's an exclamation in the Hebrew, and it reads a little bit more raw than the English does, and I always prefer raw. I always prefer, like, give it to me in its tried and true form. The psalmist penned it more accurately, my portion, comma, pause for a second, my portion, and then exclamation, O Lord, exclamation mark. That's how it's written in the Hebrew. He says, my portion, it's you, Lord, you know, and then there's this exclamation, it is you. It's very abrupt in the original language. It's very plain. The Lord himself is what we're reading this evening. The Lord himself was satisfaction to the psalmist. That's what's being described here, because the Lord has come to him through his word. The Lord has come to him through his word. It's wild. As you live life and you walk with Jesus, you are more and more reliant upon this need here that we all have as human beings, for him to come to you, to come to me, to come to us through his word. These songs that we just got done singing, I'm singing them different tonight than I would have 6 months ago. I'm singing them different this evening than I would have a year ago when we were out here on the lawn. Because the last 6 months, the last year, the last 6 weeks, the last 6 days, for goodness sakes, the last 6 hours, the Lord has had to become my portion in a different manner than what he was previously to the season that I find myself in. And so as I journey through life, the experience with Jesus is enriched. The experience with Jesus is enhanced. But it can't be apart from you being in his word. If you're not in his word, you can't go deeper. If you're not in his word, you only got emotion. You can raise your hands and you can go to Elevation concert and you can blast Hillsong in your car and you can be real like soulish in your worship to God emotionally, but you're not entering into a depth with Jesus apart from his word. He meets you through his word. That's what the psalmist is saying. Lord, you are my portion. You are, Lord, I prefer you above all the other options that are out there because you meet me through your word. You speak to me through your word. And I just want to pause for a minute and give a hearty amen to that. You know, you don't have to. If you're not, hey, I don't really feel that way, then you don't have to amen it. But if you feel it, and it seems like a lot of you do, you know, then that's it. That's it. It's like, Lord, thank you. You have met me through your word. You are my portion. You yourself is what satisfies me. Not the food trucks, not the camaraderie necessarily, not all the lights and the extras, but Lord, it's you. I'm after you, your person. And your person meets me through your word that you breathe life in. So therefore, I prefer you above everything else, Lord. You are my portion. I have said, he says at the second half of verse 57, he says in response to this thought, he says, so therefore, because you are my portion, O Lord, he says, I have said that I am going to keep your words. I've made this declaration. I've done this decidedly. Not like haphazardly or accidentally, but I've done this decidedly, Lord, because of you being my portion and you meeting me through my reading of your word, you meeting me in the reading of your word. Lord, I am responding back to that by saying, I'm going to keep your word. And I think of, to encourage you guys this evening that are up against the world, that's everybody. But if you're really feeling like if this is the portion of the study that's speaking to you, you really feel like the world is like just so like bombarding you and so in your face. I really feel like the Holy Spirit just ministered to me what the psalmist said here. Lord, I'm going to respond to your word this way. What happens with Daniel in his writing, Daniel 1 verse 8, you don't got to turn, but it says that Daniel, he's like 13, 14 years old. So if you're a junior high student, freshman, this is like your age group. He's a freshman in high school. And at that point in his life, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself with all of the world's pleasures. It says that in Daniel 1, verse 8. And then 60 years after it says that, chronologically, in chapter 6, verse 3, so Daniel's like, I don't know, 73, 74 years old, it says, as a commentary of that decision, that Daniel was preferred above all of the presidents and princes because he had an excellent spirit that was in him. So the king esteemed him and he raised him up. The excellent spirit that is being spoken of there in chapter 6 of Daniel is a reflection of a decision he made as a teenager. I'm not going to defile myself with the things of this life. I'm going to walk with the Lord. The Lord is my portion. The Lord has met me through his word. He's made himself real to me. He's shown up in my life time and time again. We just sang it. All my life, Lord, you've been faithful. He's just continuously showed up. So I esteem him over the Buffalo Bills. I esteem him. I'm sorry, guys, but I esteem him over the mac and cheese with lobster chunks in it. I haven't eaten dinner yet, so that's what's on my mind. I esteem him over, you know, the Yankees winning the pennant. I esteem him over, you know, the girl in school who I got a crush on. I esteem him over, you know, whatever it is in your life that would exalt itself. The reality is, I esteem the Lord over all of that because his majesty has been revealed in how he has met me in season after season after season through his word. So he's become such a reality in my life that I have decided, no one made me, I have decided that I'm going to keep his word. And like Daniel, in keeping his word, I'm not defiling myself with all the junk out there. And it will be a commentary of me, should Jesus tarry, that I have an excellent spirit in me in 60 years from now, should he tarry, because of my keeping of his word. That's the benefit of you. That's the motivation of you, whoever you are here tonight. putting a stake in the ground this evening saying, I have decided that I'm going to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. If the kids that went to youth camp with me over the summer aren't going to do it, if people who are esteemed in the faith I looked up to for all these years fall away, I'm not falling away, Lord. You've been too faithful to show up in my life through your word. So I have decided that I'm going to esteem you and what you give to me, my portion above all else. Amen? It's just the first verse. That's why his word's so good. You are my portion, not a thing, not a ministry, not a pastor, not a denomination. Lord, you, your person, all the options that are out there, God, they need to be put away. You're the best. You are my portion, so I have said I will keep your words. Verse 58, I have entreated, he says, thy favor with my whole heart. I have gone after your favor, but it's weak in the English. In the Hebrew, it's not favor. It's your face. Ain't that, it's richer, isn't it? I have entreated your face, the psalmist says, with my whole heart. And I guess favor works because his face is your favor. His presence is your favor. Like the presence of God is the highest form of his favor. I'm astonished every morning that I get alone with Jesus before my kids come down, before my wife comes down, before Bohank comes down. I'm astonished every morning when I'm sitting there with my Bible, a sinful wretch like me that asks God for my daily portion, how he shows up in my living room every single morning and speaks to my heart. I have sort of like this unofficial like agreement with him where it's like, Lord, I'm not going to get up until you speak. I need my daily bread. I need my portion from you. And when he gives me something from his word, he makes his face shine upon his word. He makes his presence known in my midst. It is in that moment that I feel the most favor from him. Like, Lord, how much more favor can I ask for than your very presence in my presence? Humble beggars is what we are at mercy's gate. Right? Every morning, humble beggars, every evening, every time we gather corporately, we're a bunch of humble beggars at mercy's gate. Amen? Humble beggars, mercy's gate. He said, Lord, I was desperate for your face, and I sought your face. I sought your favor, Lord, with my whole heart. But Lord, at the same time, I'm not getting anything twisted here. I need you to be merciful unto me according to your word. He's like, there's this urgency. Lord, I have entreated your face, right? With all that I am, with all of my being, there's this urgency, but there's also this inability to completely do what he wants to do. Urgency and inability, I resonate with that. That resonates with me. Lord, there is an urgency for you, but there is an inability in me to desire you and the things that are of you. So God, I need you, certainly, to give me what I don't deserve and not to give me what I do deserve. I need your mercy. I need your kindness. And Lord, it's not a promise that I'm just pulling out of a hat. It's a promise that's according to your word. I need you to be merciful to me. And I think the whole room this evening, or everyone on the lawn, I think everyone would say, yeah, Lord, we definitely need more of your kindness. Like, we have no other ground to stand on to ask anything of you. We need you, Lord, to be a God who gives to us what we don't deserve. And we need your compassions from your bowels, from the depths of your person. We need those compassions like a father has for a child. We know need those compassions that can continuously be poured out. There's urgency, I'm entreating you, but there's inability. I can't do this, God. And I love the honesty. I feel like when I read this psalm, I can do this. I feel like this is realistic. I want you, God, but sometimes I don't. So I need you to put it in my heart to willing to do of your good pleasure. And I think every young person needs to hear that real quick before I go to the next. I just have a burden for the young people here this evening. My daughter's in 10th grade. I remember being in 10th grade like yesterday. I mean, and I just think about what I was up against in 10th grade. And you all of us people who are not in 10th grade that are out of high school, out of college, what the high schoolers, what the young people are up against today is unimaginable for us. We have no clue. These kids are to walk with Jesus in today's world. with today's technology and what they're being bombarded with, like, we should be stoked out of our minds that there are so many young high schoolers in our midst this evening. Like, incredible that y'all are here. Even if you were made to come, it's an honor to have you. Even if you're like, I didn't even want to come, I don't know what everybody's clapping for, it's still incredible that you're here because Jesus loves you and he wants you to be encouraged. That there's an honesty, you're supposed to see this evening. You could be in your school battling, being bombarded, being tempted, and this is allowed. These are things I don't know if I understood when I was a youth. These things are allowed to be said to God. God, I did really enjoy like being at church last night and being on the mountaintop at the castle in Franklin, PA, Lord, with all the Christians. I really like that, Lord, but I really like her, or I really like him, or I really like the activity that everybody's about to get into that we do at this age. You're allowed to talk to God that way and say, God, so I need you to be merciful to me. I need you to help me because, Lord, you know how it's said in the New Testament? My spirit is willing, my flesh is weak. I don't know. Pastors telling churches this, they should be. Otherwise, you walk around as a Christian thinking, what's wrong with me? How come I'm not like all those holy people raising their hands at church? All those holy people raising their hands at church are raising their hands in desperation for God's help. That's all that we are. We're raising our hands because we're thinking, Lord, we are done if your mercies don't come down upon us. That's all that we're doing. We're raising our hands, praising the great I am that he hasn't consumed us because we deserve to be consumed. We're raising our hands in endeavor to submit to him. There's nothing wonderful about any of us apart from the Holy Spirit working within us. So you're allowed to say to Jesus, young person and older person too, you're allowed to say to Jesus, I'm all about you, but not always. Try saying that to your wife or your husband. Try saying that like to a peer. Like they're going to be like, that is so, you are contradicting yourself. But the Lord allows this type of honesty. There's a civil war going on within you. Paul says, I don't do what I want to do, and I do what I don't want to do. There's this constant conflict. There's nothing wrong with you. It simply means that you are warring and fighting as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If you didn't feel a battle, that's when you got to be worried. If it's easy to sin, you don't feel bad about it, that's when you should be alarmed. But if you're battling and you're wrestling, you are alive unto Jesus Christ. So keep wrestling, keep fighting. We're stoked that you're with us this evening. These bugs are killing me. I have entreated, he says, your face with my whole heart, but be merciful to me, Lord, because as urgent as this thing is, Lord, I am unable to keep your word. I thought about my ways, though, the psalmist says, and he says, and I had to turn my feet unto your testimonies. The Hebrew is not that clean. It's, I thought about your ways, and I had to turn back my feet unto your testimonies, which means he started going the wrong direction, which we call that in today's vernacular, he was backslidden. Lord, I got real messed up from the trials. I got real messed up from the affliction. I got real messed up in my head, the warfare that goes on in our brains. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 6, you got to put on the helmet of salvation. Our minds are a battlefield. Lord, I was cuckoo there, man. I was starting to conjure up these crazy thoughts, and Lord, my feet were starting to go opposite of the direction to where you are. So Lord, thank you for your word. I bless you for your word because it was through your word that I turned back my feet toward you. That's wonderful. Because now if anyone's in the room tonight, on the lawn this evening, that's backslidden, you should be encouraged. Jesus says, yeah, you're just one step away from him. You draw near to God and he draws near to you. You just turn dead in your tracks, say, God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the light you gave me. I was going that way and you're over here. And the Lord's like, yep, all you had to do is just turn. I'm right there, ready to receive you. Draw near to God, he draws near to you. It's really great news. He said, I thought about my ways, man. And for a bit there, I was not going the right way. I was wayward. I was backslidden. And Lord, I am so thankful that you have put it in my heart through your word to turn my feet back unto your testimonies. I was going the wrong direction. And I made haste, which is great. And I did not delay, which is imperative. I made haste and I delayed not to keep your commandments. Here's the problem with delay. If anybody's here this evening, they're thinking about eventually turning back to the Lord. Okay, maybe you're in a season where the Lord's challenging you. He's calling you to break up. He's calling you to move out. He's calling you to cut off. He's calling you to a new path. Here's the problem with your potential delay. Because the psalmist says, I made haste and I didn't delay. Delay in sin is increase of sin. If I delay in sin, and God's stirring my heart to move from it. If I delay in sin, it is increase of sin. If I stay stuck in the muck that Jesus wants to deliver me from, his spirit speaks to me through a Bible study like this. He's reaching me. It bears witness to me. And I say, well, maybe eventually. I need a few more days with it. Let me get through this weekend and see what happens. When I do that, my delay in my sin is increase of my sin. And the problem is that it will be more than we think we can handle. It'd be more for us than we think that we can handle. It's sort of cliche, but it's true. Sin will always take you further than you want to go. It will always keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will always make you pay more than what you thought you were going to have to pay. And I think every veteran Christian in this place is even going to say, it's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. To be slow to obey the commandments that God puts in front of us is essentially to break them. I like this. I got it from Spurgeon. He said this quote. He said, action without thought is folly, and thought without action is sloth. To think carefully and then to act promptly is a happy combination. Close quote. Let me just read it one more time, not for you to write it down, but just for it to sink into your heart. He says, action without thought is folly, and thought without action is sloth. But to think carefully and then to act promptly is a happy combination. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Lord, you showed me that I was going backwards. I love your word because it's through your word that I found out what holy living is, what righteous living is. And as you've revealed it to me, I made haste. There was no delay. I quickly came back to your commandments. And then he says in verse 61, it wasn't easy. The bands of the wicked, more literally, the snares of the wicked, the cords of the wicked, of the world, of all the temptations of the world, they have robbed me. The Hebrew is they have coiled around me. Like picture a snake coiling around, you know, its prey that it's going to eat, like just wrapping itself around its prey. He says, it's like somebody tied me up with a rope. That's what the world makes me feel like, he says. These bands, these snares, these cords of the world system, of the schools, of the workplace, of all of the evilness that's around me, Lord, they have essentially coiled around me, but I have not forgotten your law. And at midnight, no clocks, he doesn't know when midnight is, but at midnight, in this darkest hour, the middle of the night, Lord, you've placed me in a season where I will rise to give thanks unto you because of thou righteous judgments. Listen, he's still dealing here with the backslidden. He's still dealing with the person who is in a spiritual warfare, in a place of conflict spiritually. And what he's describing here in verse 62, based off of verse 61, the intensity of the warfare, is this divine insomnia. I can't sleep, Lord. Your love won't let me rest in my sin. Anybody ever been there? Where you're trying to sleep, you're trying to ignore the Holy Spirit, you're trying to continue on in what Jesus is trying to pull you from. Whatever he's speaking to you this evening at Bible study, he's putting his finger on your heart, he's striking a nerve. You go home, you're trying to sleep, and you're tossing and you're turning. You nod off, you wake up, and it's midnight, it's 1 a.m, and you can't sleep. That is called divine insomnia. That is the Lord seeking to plague your conscience so he can bring you to repentance. And the psalmist is saying, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for the conviction that wakes me up. I'm thankful for your precepts, your judgments, your law that woos me back, even in my sleep. And he's saying the best thing to do is get out of bed, get on your knees, own it before Jesus. Don't wait till the morning. Confess it to Jesus and be restored and let him give his beloved you rest. Because his love is so perfect, it won't let you rest in your sin. Because your sin separates you from your God. I've been in it. I've been there. I've been so convicted that I can't sleep. And I'm thankful because that shows me that I'm a child of God. That's what Hebrews teaches us. Like, he chastises, he corrects those who he loves. If you get away with all your sin, it's not good. It doesn't mean you're slick. It means you're not his. So embrace divine insomnia. I hope you go home this evening. You got a stomach ache. I hope you're on the toilet and you can't go back to bed until you just own it before Jesus. When I was a kid and I'd have a stomach ache in the middle of the night, I'd repent of every sin I could think of. Lord, I don't know what I did today. Forgive me, Lord, for talking back. Forget, every single thing I could think of, I confessed. But there's a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek here, but a little bit of truth, too. There's a divine insomnia. Lord, please, because you love me so much, don't let me rest in something that's separating me from you. The psalmist says, I love the word because even though I'm ensnared by these cords of the world and wickedness, they're coiled all around me. It's the word of God that causes me to rise up, even in the middle of the night, because of his righteous judgments. I'm dreaming about scripture. I'm dreaming about the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I'm haunted. I wake up in a sweat. And he says, I'm thankful for it because it brings me back to his presence. Now look, we're going to close this evening talking about friendships. Because obviously a big part of his pull to the world, his pull to going wayward, is those who he hooked up with, those who he linked up with, those who he entered into relationship with. He says, I am a companion. Because of your word, Lord, you've shown me that I'm a companion. That's how I'm going to succeed here. I am a companion of all them that fear you and of them that want to keep your precepts. It's wisdom. Lord, what he's saying here is I want to be around people who take God seriously. Not just people say, oh yeah, I go to Calvary Chapel. Oh yeah, I go to youth group. No. The exhortation that rises from the pages at the close of this testimony of I was backslidden, but now I'm back. And a lot of contemplation went in with who am I spending time with, because bad company corrupts good habits, and who you hang with is who you become like. So he says, it's through your word that I have the wisdom to understand this, and I want to be around people who take God seriously too, because those who fear the Lord, the scriptures say, the fear of the Lord is clean. It produces a pure life. So if you're being companions with people who fear God, those are people who are trying to live clean. Not just clean from drugs, but clean from sin. So if you're hanging with people who are clean from sin, iron sharpens iron. It's going to help you to be clean from sin. This is powerful. He says, in my contemplation of my waywardness, a lot of it had to do with who I was hanging out with. I can't handle fire in my bosom. I can't go to the party and not drink. I can't go to her house. I've had people say, hey, listen, we live together, we sleep in the same bed, but we don't have sex. But we want to get married. Well, why? How bad do you want to get married? How do you sleep in the bed with somebody that you don't want to be intimate with? I mean, you must not be too attracted to them. That seems to me crazy. And we can't, if we're being honest, put ourselves in these situations as human beings and think that we're going to overcome. He's saying there's got to be better decisions here. You got to be equally yoked. It's like this is almost the exact conversation I had with Harper, my third grader, at drop off to school today. Like, hey, pick your friends wisely, right? Like, who you hang out with, if you pick kids that are going to be getting into trouble, well, even if you're not doing it, guilty by association, don't pick friends that you're going to ask me on the weekend to go hang out with and I'm going to have to say no to. Like, pick friends. I'm like, oh, yeah, I like that kid. I like their parents. Yeah, go be with them. That's a good idea, right? Like, and this isn't speaking against bridge building for the gospel's sake. Like, in that case, we should be inclusive. We should be in contact with everybody to bring Jesus to people. That's not the conversation right now, though. This is, who am I allowing to be my companions? This is, who am I allowing to be an influencer in my life? Who am I allowing beyond the barriers of, like, oh, I just pass them in the hall or in the break room, and I tell them the depths of my heart, and they give me counsel back? You understand? Like, you should be choosy with those people. This isn't like, oh, can I share John 3:16 with them, or should I invite them to church? Yeah, that's for everybody. Don't get this twisted and mince my words when you leave here this evening. Bridge build with everybody, man. Give the gospel to everybody, no doubt. But you should be super choosy about who your companions are. You should be super choosy on who you let in, on who you let speak into your life, on who you allow to be an influencer. And the word of God is a wonderful weeder of those people. The word of God, if you're obedient to it, and you live in submission of it, the Word of God will naturally weed out those people who aren't supposed to be in your life because they won't like what you're about. And the Word of God will naturally bring people, when you're in obedience to it, it will bring people that are being drawn to the light by the Holy Spirit, not you, but by the Holy Spirit, into your life that are going to be a blessing to your life, spiritually speaking. So here's how you leave. Pastor, that's overwhelming. No, it's not. Here's what you do. You leave here and you just live under the governing authority of Scripture, and the wrong people will be removed and the right people will be brought in. And then you're going to succeed spiritually. God's going to bring I'm so thankful for the comrades, the brothers that I got here, beyond family that I got here. You know, we're able to text, we're able to talk. There's an intimacy like Jonathan and David. I'm so thankful for that type of relationship. You got to have it. You got to have it. We are interdependent on one another, but you got to be choosy who you have it with, because your friendships will make you or break you. Who you let in, your companionships, will make you or break you. If you're obedient to God's word, you will be unattracted to people who don't want to be. And that's when they'll say, oh, you're such a prude, or oh, you're such a, you know, all you do is go to church. You're like a nun. You're like a priest, blah, 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 blah. Okay, God, obviously, this is not a season for you and I to be like this. Bridge building, when the Lord gives me a chance to share the gospel, I'll do it. But beyond that, we're not, our spirits aren't kindred. But then the right people, the other Christian who's also trying to put one foot in front of the other, and they're battling, there's an urgency, but there's an inability, then they see you, and there's a greater ability, because iron sharpens iron. So, so good. We love it here at this church. That's why we do everything we can to protect it. Our elders and our pastors are sheepdogs. They're watchmen on the wall. To maintain the holiness and the beautiful, precious sight that this is before the Lord, of this camaraderie and this union that we have with one another because of the Holy Spirit. We want to just continue to cultivate and see it happen. We need this. I'm so thankful the rain stopped. I'm so thankful that the sun peaked out. I'm so thankful that the Lord opened the opportunity for us together. We need this again before we go back to school, to the workplace. We need the strength from one another that comes. All links in the chain interdependent on our fellowship, one another. He says, Lord, I've learned. I guess I can't date an unbeliever. I used to believe in missionary dating when I was in high school. I thought, Lord, Dad, Ma, if I date her, I can get her saved. Mom, I promise if I go to the party, I won't drink, I won't smoke. And then you get there and it's like, man, it is way easier to be pulled down than to pull people up. And you want to know what's crazy? In your 30s, in your 40s, in your 50s, in your 60s, from what I hear all the way up to the end, it never actually gets easier. Peer pressure continues. Struggle against the flesh continues all the way till we get home. So the quicker that we can learn these things, bad company corrupts good habits, missionary dating is a no-no, like all this other stuff, like if that dude needs to get saved, God will send another dude to him. If that girl needs to get saved, God will send a girl to her. Like, we just need to be careful, because we can't take as much as we think. And that's what he's saying. Lord, I was backwards. I was wayward. But I love your word, because you revealed to me that there's a need for me to be companion, in cahoots with, in fellowship with, in relationship with, buddy-buddy with, girlfriends with, those who are also fearing you and seeking to keep your precept. And then he concludes so wonderfully for this clear evening for us to do too. He says in 64, he says, oh, Lord, the earth is full of mercy. Just keep teaching me your statutes. And you want to know what I call this stanza of the psalm? A glorious cycle. Because he's all over the place, and it's just this circle. He begins with, oh, Lord, you are my portion. I've made this decision. I'm following you. But, Lord, it wasn't always that way. For a quick minute there, I was going the other direction from where you were. I was backwards in my ways and my thinking. I got caught up in this. I got caught up in that. These images overtook me. Lust kicked in. Pride kicked in. Arrogance. But then your word, God, you showed up in my life, and your word met me exactly where I was at, Lord. You spoke right to the depths of me like no mortal man can. You reached me, God. You delivered me. You showed me the friendships were bad. You showed me the girlfriend was bad. The boyfriend was bad. This was toxic. That had to go. These changes had to be made. Those phone numbers had to be erased. God, in doing all of that, you showed me the importance of fellowship. You showed me the importance of camaraderie. And you brought me back again, Lord. Just a humble beggar at mercy's gate, Lord, once again. That's all that I am. That's all that I'll ever be, Lord. But I'm thankful for the cycle. I'm thankful that even when I'm faithless, you remain faithful. You've brought the right people into my life. And when I stop and I contemplate, Lord, all I can say is that the earth is full of the mercy of the Lord. There is such an abundance of this unmerited favor. There's such an abundance of this compassion from on high. There's such an abundance of your goodness toward me when I don't deserve it, Lord. I am so thankful. Just please keep teaching me your statutes. Amen? And help. And help me. So, you know, that's how we close this evening, just like we've been doing it. Lord, this is where I am. This is my situation. This is where I find myself in the psalm. And there's hundreds of us here. And we're not going to all be in the same place, but find your place in the text. That's how Jesus becomes more real to you. Find your place in the text and then appropriate it. This verse is mine. This portion of this verse is mine. This is my homework. This is what I'm taking home this evening to chew on. This is what I'm going to bring up again in the morning. That's what chewing the cud is. I'm going to swallow it and digest it. I'm going to pull it back up. I'm going to chew it again in the morning. I'm going to chew on it to the weekend. Lord, give me my portion so that this thing becomes real to me and I'm strengthened in my pursuit of you. And watch and see how Jesus just confirms. Watch and see how your devotions line up. Watch and see how, you know, the fellowship that you have, the person speaks similar things to you. Even when you're so close with Jesus, even the world will speak things from on high into your life. I'm at football last night, and this dude is talking to me, and every other word is a vulgar, crude word. And I'm just hanging in there. Unless you're saying the Lord's name in vain, I don't even care. It doesn't. He doesn't know the Lord. It doesn't offend me. I'm fine. We're having a conversation, and walls are being broken down. So I'm like, I'm fishing. I'm just waiting for which bait you want me to use, Lord. Like he's speaking. I'm praying, thinking, and he's just pouring out his heart. And he's talking so crazily, and I'm thinking I'm going to minister to him. And then all of a sudden, I got this private worry in my heart. No one knows about it. And all of a sudden, he tells me something about his life that illustrates what I got going on in my life. And exactly what he said and how he had to say it ministered to my heart. And I go, Lord, I can even see you in this. You spoke through a donkey. You do it at Calvary West every Sunday and Wednesday. Why can't you speak through an unbeliever? I mean, he can. When you're just so in hot pursuit of Jesus, he'll speak to you through everything. It's crazy. And he'll just confirm it over and over and over. That's just the blessed life. It's the abundant life. So let him get you right where you're at. Amen? Father, thanks for the night. Thanks for the time just to hang with you in your word and fellowship, God. Just to sit under the stars, be outside, hear the kids playing, God, knowing our junior high kids are being ministered to. Like, what better evening could we ask for, Lord, than this? There's nothing greater. Thanks for the food truck. Thanks for the worship team. Thanks for added light under the tent. Thank you, God, just for the clear evening where we can just sit here in your presence and contemplate all of these truths that come from your word. We ask you that each of us would allow you to give us our portion from it and that you'd continue to confirm to our hearts the things that you want to speak to us. Continue, Lord, just to forbear us and to grow us, Lord, in the grace and in the knowledge of you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Keep us, Lord, should you tarry another week. Help the students, God, to finish the week strong for you, not to be overwhelmed with walking with you this school year, just to take it a day at a time. Help all of us adults to do the very same thing, Lord. Just sufficient is the evil of the day thereof. Stay in the day. But Lord, what would trump all of that is if you would just sound the trumpet and come get us. We close the service out by saying, Maranatha. The Lord has come. The Lord is coming. And the Lord shall come again. I wish that engine was the trumpet, Lord. Let it sound, we pray, in Jesus' name. For a minute there, I thought I missed it. Because I'm like, did everybody go and I'm still here? But y'all are here too, so let's stand. Let's sing to the Lord.